y'all doing? Everybody good today? Come on, everybody good today? We're going to have a little church in here. I want to let you know something. God is still alive. He wasn't just alive last week at Easter. He lives on. And I want y'all to get in that rhythm that he lives on. The next five Sundays, we're going to be looking at episodes, encounters, connection points of the risen Lord that he has. Because guess what? After Jesus comes back to life, did y'all realize that he has appearances, connection points, and encounters for 40 days with people? For 40 days with people before he ascends to the right hand of God. So we're going to look in those 40 days. What are some of the encounters? What do they teach us? And what do we embrace for them as believers of today? First thing today is this. We're going to start in John, the 20th chapter. So if you'll go there, John chapter 20, start with about verse 11 and following. Jesus is going to meet a familiar person. Now, how many of y'all understand that you can be familiar or think you're familiar and sometimes not recognize who's with you? You know, a lot of you are familiar with coming to church. You've heard the things of Jesus. Many of you have heard thousands of times Jesus died on the cross. He's risen from a grave. But you don't know it. You've heard it, but you don't know it. Did you realize you can hear it and not know it? You can be around it and not recognize it. So we're gonna step in to more of this dimension. Not only did Jesus raise from the grave, but what does that mean? What does it mean that I personally would live a risen life? What does it mean to live in the power of the resurrection? How many of y'all need to understand? I need to live like I'm living on. Now check this out. I need to live like I'm what? Living on. Well, let's just run a check. Balcony, what do y'all believe? I believe in Jesus Christ we live on. What do y'all believe? Y'all believe that? You believe we live on? How many of you believe? Come on, I want to hear you or see you. Raise your hand or something. How many of you believe that if you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven, that you don't die and you live on forever and ever? Anybody believe that? You live on forever and ever. Okay, you believe that? I believe that. I believe we have eternal life. So that means we live on. If you don't mind, tell your neighbor, we want you to live on. Go ahead and tell them. We want you to live on. We want you to live on. Pastor Jamie, you're going to live on. Did you realize that? Pastor Jamie's going to live on. In spite of being an Ohio fan state of Ohio, you know. Yeah. Ohio State fan, guess what he's going to be able to do? Live on. You know what? God forgives those who have bad judgment. And God can do these kind of things. See what I'm saying? You live on. Now, I got to ask you a question. That is the cognitive statement. Wouldn't you agree? That's a cognitive statement. Live on. Now there's the reality of that statement. If we in Christ live on, if we in Christ are filled with resurrection power, if we in Christ have eternal life in us, tell me why those in Christ are so anxious in this moment. Why would the believers be filled with anxiety? You see, the two don't go together. You can't live on and be anxious. How many of y'all glad you got forever? If you don't mind, tell your worshiping neighbor near you, hey, you got forever. Come on, you got forever. Come on, y'all talk to each other. Y'all can go to Sit and Stare Church. We got 147 of them provided in this county. You got one that's going to mess with you. Okay? For you guests, this is the radical, crazy concept is this. We would actually communicate. And then we even got a crazier concept. That we would communicate, that you would engage, that you would internalize, that you would incarnate the truth of God's word, and then actually go live it out in a world where it makes a difference. If you don't think it makes a difference, look what you've witnessed today. You've witnessed a beautiful lady that's been married 54 years be baptized today because the Holy Spirit told her to. If you think that happened everywhere today, see what I'm saying? God's at work today. A lot of people have been saved today. It's not even Easter. A lot of people have been saved today because guess what? God lives on. Are you there at that 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, the 11th verse? I want us to pick up some things today. How many of y'all realize that God is closer than you think? God is closer than you think. How many of y'all look for God? I want to find God. I want to find God. I want to find God. I hear that. People say, well, I'm seeking God. I'm seeking a spiritual experience. I'm seeking a spiritual quest. Man, that sounds groovy, doesn't it? I mean, it's got a cool to it. I want to be spiritual. And that's popular. Sales well. You can sell a lot of books. You know, if I was to write a book, The Spiritual Quest of the 21st Century and How Spirit Integrates, then, man, that would be really popular. But let me tell you what. God speaks life into death is a message that goes beyond human reason. Y'all got it? Now let's look. We meet an interesting woman. Where is God? Closer than you think. Where is God located? Closer than one might suspect. Where is God? He's in an everyday moment right next to us. Check this out. But Mary Magdalene, verse 11. But Mary, there she is, verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. Where do we find Mary? She's weeping outside of what? And it's going to be a little different than last week. We got Mary weeping outside of a tomb. And as she wept, she stooped down to look into the tomb. So she's looking for death. Surely Jesus is dead. Surely Jesus is, he's not there. Jesus, my Lord, the one that cared for me. Because Mary Magdalene had a reputation. Any of you ladies know any other ladies that might have a reputation? Anybody, this is Mary. This is real. This is in the Bible. We're not the first people to tweet this stuff. It's been going on a long time. Mary Magdalene had a little bit of a reputation. Why is it that ladies always know if another lady's up to something? Ladies just know that stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Am I getting too close to home today? Am I getting too close? Even you girls, it starts at a young age. If y'all got a boyfriend and there's another girl talking to your boyfriend, you all can instantly tell if that talk means more than it really should. Have you noticed that? But we guys can't because we look and go, what? You know, I've been talking before and come back over to Elizabeth and she goes, well, I hope you enjoyed your conversation. I said, what are you talking about? And she goes, honey, you are so dumb. I said, honey, I don't even think about that stuff. Lord have mercy. I said, I don't think about another woman. I said, you too much for me sometimes. And I don't have enough money to get a divorce. I'm telling you, so I'm done. You know, I mean, it's just that. Wait, well, guess what? Mary Magdalene, how many of y'all would want Magdalene talking to your boyfriend? She got around a little bit. She had a reputation. And when we have a reputation, and we all have a reputation, do you know that? How many of y'all realize everybody's got somebody talking behind their back? We got a lot of coaches go here, and they all laugh because all coaches know that people only like you for a moment. When you're what? No, see, y'all don't understand this. When you're playing their kid. It ain't about winning no more. It ain't about winning no more. It used to be about winning. I've been part of winning seasons, and guess what? Had parents down on the field. Coach, I can't believe you didn't play my kid. I said, but we won by 7 touchdowns. Yeah, but you didn't play my kid. I wanted to go, because he ain't no good. Because that's honest to God truth. And every coach knows, every one of y'all wanted to say that. Every pastor has one sermon they want to preach. They're saving it for their last one so they won't have to be fired. It's their swan song. I'm going to have one of them one day. I'm just going to drop the mic. I'm out of here. Dropping a mic sermon. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Mary had this kind of reputation. I want you to know how powerful Jesus is because some of you, you ease into church, and I'm with you. I'm glad Hillview's the kind of church you can ease in and check out. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus Christ wants you to live. And I want you to get that. And I don't care where you've been. I want you to know that God can cleanse you. And I want you to know that that's the gospel. And I'll fight anytime I hear one of my colleagues trying to tell somebody that they've just done too much for Jesus to deal with them. You get a preacher like that, you tell them come to my office. Don't send me an email. They're all brave on email. You tell them come to my office. I want to get eyeball to eyeball, face to face, spirit to spirit. I found that people are brave on the internet, and I have found them to be very cowardly face to face. You know what I mean? Screens make people bigger than they are. See what I'm saying? Jesus talks to us face to face. He gets eyeball to eyeball. He gets soul to soul, spirit to spirit. He gets in there where life comes to life. Mary Magdalene's at the tomb. One you wouldn't think would be there, right? That kind of woman ain't supposed to be with a holy rabbi. True? Well, she was because Jesus redeemed her. I want you to know if you got a bad reputation, God would like to give you a great life. Y'all cool with that? I'm giving you the truth here. How many of y'all understand? If somebody's told you you're worthless, you're no good, you're stupid, you can't make it, you've messed up too many times, let me tell you what Jesus has said. He said, I am the Son of God, the forgiver of sin, and the creator of new life. A God that, hold on, a God that will step out of death and walk you into life. Let me tell you who's looking into the tomb. A woman that used to be messed up, who's now a blessed woman. She's very connected to Jesus. Ladies, I don't know what it is. I don't pretend to understand women. Lord have mercy. Y'all amaze me. Y'all are a mystery. You just are. But there's something that women do that they teach me. That's why we need women involved in the church. Women can embrace mystery. They just do that easier than men. They just do. Watch this. Kids. How many of y'all remember when you had your kid? How many of y'all had a baby right out of hatch? I mean, you saw it first thing. You and the Lord cooked it up the whole bit. You went through the whole process. A newborn baby. Now, get honest with me for a minute. Y'all cover the ears of the children. None of us look real good day one, do we? I mean, let's be honest. True? I mean, I have to confess to y'all, as a preacher, I've lied more than once. New parents, they pull one of them red wrinkled things out. I've had cone heads born here. I mean, people, you know, whoop, heads all collywomped and everything, you know, just firstborn. And hey, listen, I'm talking about my own child. Y'all have heard me say this a thousand times. Blake, I'll go ahead and call his name out. Alien. He looked like E.T. I swear he did. I used to love that show when he was born. Hey, listen, I was waiting. I looked at Elizabeth. I said, he's going to phone home. I said, honey, we have had an extraterrestrial. Then eventually he shaped up. But I'm just telling you right up. Guess what, though, man? I saw Blake. He looked like E.T. and I loved him instantly. Instantly. How many of y'all, when you had your first baby, your second baby, some of you, your eighth baby, how many of you instantly love that baby? Come on, anybody instantly love that baby? I mean, hold on. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. We embrace mystery more than you think we do. See, I'm an adopted child, man. That's even more mystery to me. I was 3 days old. My daddy said, he leaned over that crib and he said, son, you have one of the biggest heads I've ever seen. I said, I still got a big head. And he said, and you turned and looked at me, and he said, you looked over the brow of your nose, and your eyes was as wild as they can be. I said, Daddy, why did you pick all that up? He said, I knew you were my son. The Lord said so. And I said, did you think I'd be trouble? He said, I had a hunch. But you were my trouble. That's a father's embrace. How many of y'all need to be God's trouble? You've been being somebody else's trouble too long, and you need to fall into loving that. This is Magdalene. She's looking in the tomb. Bless her heart, she's looking in the tomb. And guess what? Now, I want to show you something. Magdalene has a relationship with the heavenly realm. I want to show you something distinctly different than last week. Remember the angel showed up last week, and what did the big old brave Roman soldiers do? Froze up like dead men, remember? Paralyzed in the presence of heaven. Let me show you what Magdalene does. She stoops down, looks into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain. One of them at the head and one of them at the feet. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, they've taken away my Lord, and that I do not know where they've laid him. She ain't even shook. Magdalene talks to angels. Big bad old Roman soldiers freak out like dead men. But a redeemed woman, you know what she knew? Lord, if you can change me, what's a couple of angels in a tomb? She could embrace the mystery. Hold on. If you're going to live in the power of the resurrection, you got to embrace the what? Mystery. Let me give you a principle, and I live by this principle in my own life. Quit. Stop it. Cease this kind of thinking. Do not let human beings tell you who you will be. A lot of us would have better lives if we quit listening to everybody else. A lot of y'all listen to everybody, but guess who? Jesus. Listen to your mama. Your mama says you're no good. Well, listen, only a no good mama would say something like that. I'm sorry. If your mom told you you were stupid and you were ugly and nasty and unworthy, she didn't know how to be a mother. And if your daddy told you to leave and get out of his sight, he didn't know how to be a father. He said, well, Pastor Steve, what do? I got bad parents. Thousands, millions, billions of people have had bad parents. Let me tell you what you do. You turn to the best parent. You turn to the ultimate parent. You turn to the remaker. You turn to the creator. You turn to the one that says, you can, you will, and I will be with you. Can I run that by again? Somebody was tweeting. You need to tweet that. You can, you will, and I'll be with you. Did you get that, Hostway? Type it up. Live at 11 only. Now check this out. Mary looks in there and says, I don't know where they've taken my Lord. She's talking to the angels. Blows me away. Roman soldiers scared literally to death. Mary talking to angels. Why? She knows where heaven is located. She has not lost heaven. She's lost where Jesus is. She's hearing, but not seeing. God wants you to see. Here's why I tell you to quit people. Quit listening to people. You know what people said about Elizabeth and I? We got married young. We were young. Elizabeth did not make a good decision marrying me. She did not. She made a good decision marrying me, just the timing was bad. People said we'd be divorced in 6 months. Your mother being one of them. But they were wrong. So far, we've beat 6 months. But what if Elizabeth had listened to those people? I would say within 6 months' time, you might have had some reasons that they could be right. But she decided to listen to what God said in the covenant. She said, Lord, I'll stay with him for better or worse. And she told me at the end of that marriage, a few years later, she said, when I said I do, I had no idea what I'd done. I said, I didn't either. But watch. God did. So I'm giving you examples. Here's what I want you to know. This isn't a cute little story we celebrated this last week. This is the way of life. It keeps celebrating in us every day. Check this out. Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. I don't know where they put him down. I don't know what they've done with him. Look at this. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. You know what some of you need to do today? Turn around. Y'all looking for Jesus so hard you can't see him. Guess what you need to do? Somebody hear what the word's trying to tell you today? Turn around. Do what? Turn around. Some of y'all are so busy looking into where you are, you need to turn around, and guess who would be standing there? So guess where Jesus is located? Turn around. Yeah, you can't hear Jesus because you're so busy doing your thing, you won't turn around and see that he's standing there. Now, here's what I love about Jesus. Jesus is with us and ahead of us at the same time. How many of you are glad that Jesus always gets there before you do? Let me show you the truth here. How many? Yeah. Y'all clap that up. That's good. What's this? Y'all understand how powerful that is? That means before you mess up, Jesus has already got ahead of where you messed up. Wow. What do y'all think about that? That'll move us one tomorrow. Jesus is with us and ahead of us at the same time. Amazing. Miraculous. Moving. Life changing. All jarring. But Jesus moves on. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. How many of y'all have turned around and you were talking and it was Jesus all along, but you couldn't recognize him because you're too busy telling Jesus what was happening? And by the way, Jesus comes in weird form. Doesn't he, girl? What's this? I may blow y'all up. Nobody voted me most likely to preach in my senior high annual. In fact, when we go back for reunions, they go, really? I go, really? Because guess what? I didn't look like a little preacher boy. I didn't do preacher boy stuff. I didn't like preacher cars. I didn't like preacher music. I didn't look like a little cherub, you know. I didn't go like, oh, and I didn't do holy stuff. And I said words that were unbecoming to ministers until I became a preacher. And I realized they said them too, just they did it in the bathroom instead of in the wide open. And I found out that you know, God called real people to do real things. It's amazing. But sometimes, guess what? Jesus has sent you many messages and you won't listen because they don't look like you want them to look. Guess what? Some of you can't even see Jesus. You've never seen Jesus because you think he's a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a non-denomination. It is a denomination. You try to make him look like you, and sometimes Jesus is standing there looking like the gardener. And the reason you can't see him, first one is you won't turn around. The second one is you won't be quiet. How many of y'all are so busy talking you can't hear? Problem we preachers got. We tend to talk more than we what? Listen. God's called us to listen so we'll have something to say. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. She turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Now guess what? Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, if you've taken him somewhere, tell me where you've laid him and I'll take him away. I'll take care of it." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni, Rabboni," Jesus. How many of y'all think it's really cool that Jesus called your name? Mary. But isn't she preaching up a storm? She's taking care of it. And she's turning around. "Listen, if you know where the body is, if you just tell me, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of everything. I don't want it to be a problem up here. We're going to get it. Y'all can just see her. I want to fix it for Jesus." How many of y'all are wanting to fix it for Jesus when the real deal is only Jesus can fix it for you? You want to fix it for Jesus. Watch this. Jesus doesn't need an athletic guy supporting him for him to get his message out. Do you realize that many more people were saved before the NFL than after the NFL? He don't need a football star. He just needs a witness. I get so tired of hearing that. And I work with FCA. I love it. It's a great organization. But they said, "Man, we need a great athlete to be a witness." I said, "No, you don't. You just need a great witness. A great witness is what you need. It's not about being an athlete. It's about being a witness. It's not about being a movie star. It's about being a witness. It's not about being a mechanic. It's about being a witness. What God's looking for is the witness. Mary, she's not real popular. You know what I mean? And on top of that, she's had some people say some things about her. But she's not listening to what they say. Guess what she listened to? Mary, Rabbi. Mary, Rabbi. Mary, she knew. She knew. She knew Jesus when he called her name. How many of y'all know Jesus when he calls your name? Some of y'all need to turn around. I've heard Jesus call my name. You know what's so amazing? He does not call me Pastor Steve. He don't use any alphabets. You know what he does? He calls me the same name my mama calls me. Stephen. Lord. There's three people call me Stephen. Bad. My mama, my Jesus, and officers of the law in various states, because that's what's on my operator's license. All three of those moments are life-changing events. How many of you all need to know that Jesus knows your first name? Isn't that great? He doesn't look at Mary and say, woman. He says, Mary. And he says it in such a way. Elizabeth has been in rooms. We've been in rooms where thousands of people were. And I have called her name. And guess what she's known? Boom. She knew exactly who it is. Because I say her name like nobody else says her name. I'll go, Elizabeth. And she'll just laugh. She'll go, there he is. You know when I say your name, don't you? I mean, you could be across this parking lot. And if of course, now a lot of times I say it that loud and you ignore me. But I'm talking about when you're wanting to listen. When you're turned around, if I say that name, who do you know it is? Do y'all know it when Jesus says your name? Well, let me tell you what happens after he says your name. She turned and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, Jesus, my Lord. Jesus. He said to her, don't cling to me yet, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. What did Jesus just tell that girl? I've already made a way. My God is your God. My Father is what? Your Father. Anybody in this room need a new father? If you had a bad one here on earth, you got a great one up in heaven. Sometimes we get bad parents. You know why? People are parents. Sometimes they're good at it, and sometimes they're not good at it. But God's always good at it. That's why we need to turn to him. And guess what? I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her. How many of y'all need to get a little more, I've seen the Lord in your life? I've seen the Lord. And go tell them about the grace of God. Amen. First sighting of Jesus. Turn around. So today, guess what? Some of you need to turn around from some stuff. Some of you may be into some stuff you need to turn around from. Okay, this is a great, a lot of y'all dating here. Y'all dating the right person, and you need to turn around. Can I just give you all some heads up? I've done this, but I like to do it on a regular basis because it helps some of you. If your granny don't like him, if your mother doesn't like him, if all your aunts don't like him, if your teachers don't like him, if everybody doesn't like you saying no, that's probably Jesus. You know how many tragic divorces I've handled? I had these great, precious young ladies sit in my office, and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what'd your mama say about him? She couldn't stand him. What about your granny? Pull. What about your daddy? He'd get up and walk out of the room. What's that telling you? Those people what? Do you think your granny's praying this for you? Lord, send my granddaughter a bum so her life will be miserable for the rest of her life. Do you think she's praying that? By the way, girls, I give you heads up. Listen to Jesus. If like they in college right now and all they do is go to class for an hour and play PlayStation for 10 hours, not a good investment. Because you're going to leave with a dude that's got $100,000 worth of debt and with 4 years of no work experience. That's really marketable. You know who still gets jobs? Did you know there's 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, they get jobs and they go on and they make a difference? However, what they did is they did not sit on the campus. They went to class and they went to work. And when they got out of school, they worked on. Because they wasn't fresh. They had work what? Now, I know what some of you are saying. Well, Pastor Harris, you don't understand. My guidance counselor tells me to not be stressed out. Let me help your young generation with something. The last thing that you all need to be worried about is overstress. I do not see this as a pressing issue of the next generation. In fact, we're so anxious now, we've decided, let's be stoned legally. That'll help us become a better generation. That's what we needed. We were so overmotivated, we needed something to pull our motivation down a little bit. What do you think? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Anybody smoke dope, first thing it does, keep you from what? Y'all are silent. I know why y'all are being silent. Well, if I say something, somebody will think I've smoked dope. Let me help you. Somebody smoked some dope in here, I promise. More than once. And we said, well, it takes away our motivation. It takes away our ability. Watch this. If we get hooked on something that keeps us away from Jesus, we won't turn around because we don't care about anything but the moment. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus cares about your forever? Died for it and lives through it. Amen. And wants to touch every one of you. All right, y'all learned something today? Guess what? It's time to stand up and make a decision. Y'all cool with that? All right, let's stand up. Y'all are wonderful. Let's stand up. God's going to do a great work. Hey, people are going to get saved today. Y'all all right with that? God's going to do a work in here. He's doing a work in here. I love it. I got an email the other day telling me how I teach fairy tales. Once again, I got an email the other day. I've just learned not to respond. I wanted to come and say, why don't you come over here to this office and talk to this big fairy? See what's up. Once again, people are brave. It's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ loving us. Not everybody believes what we believe. You're privileged to not believe. Guess what? Today, unfortunately, there'll be good news and there'll be bad news. Elizabeth lived with this for 34 years. She's been preaching with me for 34 years. Since I was a kid. We get in the car and I say, Elizabeth, man, I'm excited about the people that get saved. But man, I tell you what, I'm tore up right now. I'm tore up about the people that walked away without grace. I hope nothing happens to them. Now, I'm not serious, guys. There's some of you in here, man, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And there's a lot of you in here, guess what, you hadn't turned around yet. It's time to get real. It's either real or it's not real. God says it's real. It's real. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Only through me do you come to know grace. That's the only way you go to heaven. The only way you get to know God the Father is through Jesus the Son. He said that. Don't take a risk on what somebody else said. That's what he said. So today, some of you need to do just what these beautiful people did in this baptistry. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. How many of y'all understand if you ask, Jesus will save? Now, let me tell you what I've seen this thousands of times. And that's not preacher talk for me. I'm not even exaggerating. I've never seen any human being anywhere in the world come to an altar and say, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me. And Jesus go, ah, man, I wish I could, but you're not on the list. I have seen Jesus save everybody with a repentant heart. I'm just telling you what I've seen. It's what Mary did. Mary said, these are the things I've seen. So here's what I know. If you need to receive Christ, you come today and let Jesus come into your life. If you've never been baptized, I'd get baptized. Here's why. I think it's important to do what God asks you to do. What do you think? He asked you to get baptized. You say, well, Pastor Steve, that doesn't gel with my personal faith experience. Well, let me help you with your personal faith experience. Whoopity-doo. Your personal faith experience stays in a daggum hole in a grave. I'm talking about one that gets up out of death and walks us into life forever and ever. So I'm not going to lie to you. You can get mad at me all you want to. But I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that your personal faith experience is important as God's declared holy word. Here's what the holy word says. Any man, whosoever, repents of their sins shall be what? Saved. Jesus will make it personal. He'll say Joe. He'll say Sally. He'll say Sharika. He'll say Donna. He'll say D'Amica. He'll say, come and let me forgive you, for you will live. I'm going to pray that some of y'all receive that today. I'm going to pray that some of y'all be baptized. Even if you're following Jesus, how many of you all need to turn around to the right way? Any of y'all ever drive a car, ride a bicycle, moped, or any form of transportation? Have any of y'all with a good heart ever made a bad turn? Okay, well, guess what? Guess what Jesus says today? What? Turn around. See where he is and where he might take you. Y'all been a blessing today. Thanks for being here. Let's pray. Lord, I'm sad. We hear this great news and sometimes we want to live in our bad news. Forgive us. God, forgive me when I don't realize the power that you truly hold constantly. God, forgive me when I forget who I am in you. I just ask that forgiveness, Lord. And I ask you today, Lord, to just bring us to the altar. Love us as you have made us. And so, listen, if I'm talking to you, it's the Lord talking to you. You never asked Jesus in your life today, be saved. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Now I hear some of you right now say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've done drugs. I ain't talking about your drugs. I'm talking about Jesus coming into your life and forgiving you of that mess. I'm not here to fuss at you. I'm here to show you you can be saved. You've already been fussed at enough. Ladies, I talked about Mary Magdalene. If somebody's told you that you're an unworthy woman, in the name of Jesus, I want you to come down to this altar today, and I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to take his hand and put it under your chin and let him call your name, and you walk out of here the wonderful bride of Christ that you are in the name of Jesus. Carrie, thank you for receiving grace, being buried and risen, girl. God bless you. Live on as a woman of God. God bless you. If you're nervous right now, that's because the devil don't like anything I'm saying right now. Some of you all know you're being forgiven right now. Just ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Enter into me. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to do it because the Bible's true. Ask and you shall what? Receive. So come on. Let's let God do his thing. Amen. The altar is open. God's presence is available. His healing is forever. Come and worship him. Come on, church. Just worship him. Thank you for coming. Come and be saved right now. Come and be baptized. Come and be healed.